Craig, I want to get your thoughts on Borgo. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the draft. What do you make of Borgo? What are Oiler fans? What should they be expecting? Obviously, he's a guy who I think like Eberle's going to play two more years of junior, you know, then maybe turn pro. But what do you see his potential as at the NHL level?
He's a really well-rounded two-way player. And, you know, he's got kind of the intensity of a Jean-Gabriel Pageau. And by that, what I mean is he's invested in all the areas of the game, with the puck, without the puck, offensively, defensively. Really, really good sense and feel for those situations in the game. You know, he thinks so well. And he's real quick to understand, okay, transition from offense to defense, defense to offense, with the puck, without the puck. He's always in motion. I call it progression of thought, Jason, and he's got real strong progression of thought. As he's developed over the last couple of seasons, he only needs one more year junior. He's a late birthday. So just okay. Keep that in mind. So he's only got one. Like he can turn pro after next year's year in junior, being a late birthday. So, but, you know, as he became stronger, he was able to have just a little bit more quickness. And with a little bit more quickness, he got a little bit more space. With more space, he got more opportunities. He got more productivity. And he always had the sense. He always had the investment in the game. But now that he's physically matured to the extent where he finds himself today, you know, he continues along that path. And I just see a really good, well-balanced, well-rounded player that can play in a lot of different situations and help you win.
If you're in the shoes of Ken Holland, you see the young Swedish goalie sitting there at the pick, and then they trade down. Is that a hard pick, a hard choice? Like what goes in? Do you look at what you have currently? Do you look at the what who's left behind? If you don't take this goalie, are you looking at that goalie? Like how? Because it seemed like an area that maybe some Oilers fans felt that was maybe a natural pick to pick up. What was his name? Westerman.
And that's fair enough, Jason, to think there's an actual pick there. And if they pick Jesper Wallstad, I think he's a really good player. I think he's got number one goalie written all over him. But I think just to your question, you look at what you have. That's Stuart Skinner. Stuart Skinner has made such significant strides in his game in the last 18 to 24 months. And last year, I mean, he was really good. So I think that, like, you know, with a little bit more certainty and a lot more belief of Stuart Skinner's potential, you start to go, well, okay, where may we be short in another area of our lineup? Where's there another player? You're always evaluating players vis-a-vis the other players that are available and, you know, where there might be some shortages in your organization with a particular position or a particular type of player. I think Stuart Skinner and where he's progressed to was probably a real significant factor in them selecting Borgo over the goaltender. And you could say, okay, was there a defenseman there? And you look and go, well, we have Broberg, we have Bouchard, we have Samarukov. You know, maybe, you know, we don't need to take a defenseman, even though, you know, they may have been high on a defenseman. And I think that that's what happened in the case of that pick by the Edmonton Oilers.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. And Craig, you know, the free agent frenzy has come and gone. Obviously, there's still a few players out. And like usual, you know, we'll see some August signings and, you know, maybe depending on what teams get for their RFAs and potentially what happens in arbitration if anyone goes or not. But I want to get your thoughts on a few Canadian markets. We'll start with Edmonton. You know, they re-sign Barry for 3 years. They get CeCe for 4 years. Of course, they get Hyman for the long-term deal. There's a risk there, no question. They get Fogle in the trade for Bear and Derek Ryan, not to mention the earlier trade for Duncan Keith. Do you believe the orders are better, even worse, than they were last year?
So the easy answer for me is they're different. You know, and I think they've completely upgraded with the additions of Hyman and Fogle. And don't take Dylan Holloway out of this equation. I think Dylan, you heard me say this, I think Dylan Holloway's ready to play. I think that I hear it all, oh, well, he's young. Yeah, okay. I know how good he is, and I believe that he'll find his way there. So you look at that, you know, three forwards that I think can really be, you know, significant in their contributions. I think that's a massive upgrade. you start to look at, you know, there's no Oscar Klefbom, and he wasn't there last year. I know he wasn't there last year, and there's no Adam Larson. Those are two players that do massive heavy lifting. Duncan Keith is a second pair defenseman right now at this stage of his career. You can't expect him to be more than that. And the loss of Adam Larson, you can, I mean, Tyson's a good player, but there's question marks on Evan Bouchard. Not question marks about what his potential is, but okay, what's he going to be able to do next year? And Cody Ceci was solid last year, but at the same time, he's no Adam Larson. So I think there's question marks. And you know, Mike Smith had a phenomenal season last year, and he's a real, what I call, heartbeat player for this team. But at some point in time, as you know, you keep going back to the well, so to speak, 39 years old to 40 years old, you know, you hope that he can maintain that level of excellence. And it's not that you don't think he will, but you still, there is a measure of hope. But I think there's some real questions on that right side blue line going into the season. And yeah, they can answer them. I'm not suggesting that they can't. I also think there's a question, who's their sixth defenseman? I mean, you can look at different players, but it's not an area of strength. So the forward group, the left wingers, I mean, that's a massive upgrade. That right side defense right now, question marks on it.
Craig Bunn joins us on TSN, breaking down the week that was a very busy one and probably continue to be pretty busy for the next little while as deals crank in here. Craig, you know, you talk about that forward group and the improvement and what, you know, Ken Holland, in his words, better forechecking, you know, group with Fogle and Hyman and I think Puljujärvi and, you know, Dylan Holloway. How much do you look at it as a GM and say, okay, this forechecking should help take some of the pressure off our D and maybe we can get away with, you know, a little bit different looking D or maybe less confidence in our D because of what we might do in the offensive zone and have some sustained pressure that I think the Oilers did not have outside of when Connor and Leon were together in the offensive zone?
Yeah, great point, Jason. And I think it also dovetails into, you know, Dave Tippett coaching. You know, there's no perfect teams out there. There just simply isn't. And, you know, what you want to try to do is balance your team, understand, you know, what's your strengths and what can we hang our hat on. Dave Tippett is going to be really good at being able to put the players in the positions where they can, you know, play to that potential and take some of that pressure off of other players. You know, I don't want to call it protect other players, but to your point, you know, it takes off some of the stress. You know, Zach Hyman as a left winger, and like, so we'll talk about the right side defense, right? Zach Hyman as a left winger, because he is so good defensively, because he's so good, forget about the forecheck coming back, he allows defensemen to defend less space, not more, because he's so good at kind of pushing opponents into the black hole. I go back to last year, that three-game series against the Oilers, when the Oilers scored one goal, and you go back and watch those clips of Zach Hyman. All he kept doing was pushing McDavid into the black hole. Now Justin Hall has a lot less space to defend, and it becomes never easy to defend Connor McDavid, but you take some of the stress off of it. So the left wing, the speed in the offensive zone, but also Fogle, the way he comes back, the way he plays, that takes pressure off the right side defense too. So that's something you have to factor in, not just the forechecking in the offensive zone, but how they come back hard, how they position themselves to allow the defenders not to have to consider many options and more space. You know, that becomes critical too, Jason. So, you know, and where I say the questions are, the questions, every team has questions, but the questions are going to be, okay, how can they handle this? How are they going to adapt? How are they going to settle in? Because other parts of this too is McDavid and Draisaitl, they need to get the puck on the move too. That's a big part of their game. But, you know, there's all different elements that you can work, you know, and intertwine with other areas that kind of shore it up. And I think the Edmonton Oilers absolutely have that opportunity with those left wingers.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, and maybe it's hard because, you know, probably not a lot of views last year, but Raphael Lavoie, I keep hearing from a lot of people that say Raphael Lavoie just needs a good pro offseason of training like a pro. And not that he didn't train well before, but you know what it is. Training like a pro is different than training like a junior player. I've talked to a lot of players, and it's just, you know, it's a different level. So where do you see Raphael Lavoie? Obviously, I'm expecting him, you know, he's going to play in the American League this year, but when he's an NHLer, Craig, is he like a third line guy realistically, or do you think he has the chance to be a second line player?
I don't think there's any question he's got a chance to be a second line and a first two line. He can score. Now, there's nothing wrong with having scoring on your third line. I mean, he's a big body scorer. He doesn't need a lot of chances to be able to finish and everything. You know, Jason, it's funny. I hear all the, he's got to have a pro off season. Like, what are you basing that on? Some of the stupid narratives that just continue to be trotted out day after day, year after year, drive me crazy. What is the basis for saying he needs a pro year of training? Do people know him? Do people know what he's done or what he hasn't done? I mean, it's just ridiculous. The guy's a really good prospect. He made major strides this year in his game, and he's a really good scorer.
Well, basically, they were saying he's got to get stronger, is, I guess, what it amounts to.
Well, every player has to get stronger when you're 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah.
That's another stupid thing I hear at the draft. Oh, he's got to get stronger. No kidding. Thanks for that great insight.
Well, I'll tell you what, at that age, I was living underneath a squat rack and the bench press because that's all we knew. That's all we did, squatting and bench. I could have bench pressed the whole draft table if I would have been given the opportunity, Craig. you know, let's just shift gears a little bit and look at some of the deals around that came down. And I want to specifically dial in on the one of Blake Coleman in Calgary. You know, great. He was in a great spot in Tampa, you know, two Stanley Cups, everything was great. My concern is this for him, is that the number he's at now, how hard is it to not get a player to change who he is because the expectation he sets for himself for the dollar amount he's getting paid yearly?
Well, that's exactly the challenge, right? Isn't it? You nailed it, right? I always use Bobby Holik, Jason, as an example. Bobby Holik was a strong, and he signed that big $45 million deal, 5 years, $9 million a year with the New York Rangers. Bobby Holik's game never changed. It never changed, but the expectation sure did. And that affected Bobby. I mean, Bobby is such a, so strong and like knew what his game was, you know, and he played it. But it affected him. I mean, I talked to Bobby after that. You know, there's a pressure on the player. I'm getting paid more. I'm getting paid. There's an expectation by fans. And it is a real difficult thing to say, hey, listen, we know what we have to sign you for. We know what the acquisition price is. We still want you to be who you are. Way easier said than done. Not just from a management or coaching point of view, but also from a player point of view. Because, Jason, you know this, and you know this firsthand, right? You get that money, you get recognized for what you can do. Obviously, his record with the two cups speaks large. But now, well, we need more because of that. You know, and that's just that's the reality of what goes with it. So you have to manage those expectations. I would say the hardest thing is to try to make sure that you keep the player level and try to keep them even. And that's hard because players put pressure on themselves.
Craig, where are you at? What games are you watching?
I am at the U18 camp. They're having the showcase here, the U18 and U20 summer showcase. It's at the Seven Chiefs Sport Plus in the just outside of Calgary. And it's just a really great opportunity for the U20s to come together under Coach Dave Cameron and the U18s who aren't at the Holinka for Hockey Canada to just really get a real good understanding of these players and get them back into the program, so to speak. So that's where I'm at for the next 4 days. So it'll be interesting. You know, the junior team is going to be really dynamic come this December. And, you know, the players are sitting here just trying to show what they got.
So you're seeing some U18s. Obviously, you're seeing some guys who will be eligible for next year's draft. We obviously, like, Shane Wright, is it like an obvious right now here, a year in advance, Craig, he's the number one pick? Or is there anybody can compete for him at the number one slot next year?
Okay, I'm going to say this, Jason, okay? You've seen the nose on my face. A lot of people have seen the nose on my face. Shane Wright, the first overall pick, is as obvious as the nose on my face.
Okay. I like it.
Is Matty Savoy there as well?
Yeah, Matty is here too. Yeah, Matty's here. Connor Bedard's here. All the old fours here. There is no better player than Shane Wright in the 2022 draft. There isn't. And yeah. I can tell, I said this before, you're going to see, they're like, I'm being asked now about the World Junior team. He's Canada's best player. He's not, yeah. he's not, 17 years. He is their best player. There is no player better than Shane Wright that's going to play and suit up for Team Canada at the World Junior in December.
Well, he's going to love it in either Buffalo or Arizona next year.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it look like that? I mean, they're doing everything they can. You know, yeah. I heard that the Buffalo Sabres were considering signing Von Edwards as one of their goaltenders. That's how prepared they are to pay.
You know what? I got a call. They offered me a 2-year contract, Craig. They want to make sure they get that first pick.
Well, what I heard, Jason, is that Arizona and Buffalo are both raising the price on your services.
There's a bidding war. We'll pay you like a number one D-man. Just come and do your best. Run our power play. It'll be great.
They haven't hid the fact about what their intentions are, is it?
Oh, well, look at the goal. Look at the goaltending situation in Buffalo. I mean, if you're a young player like Cole or Dylan Cousins, you look behind. Like, with all due respect to those goalies, I mean, you're not even trying. Like, let's be honest.
Well, hey, we are honest. They aren't even trying. So you're bringing in young players. So what are you going to do next year? They're just going to get beat up every single game, every single night. They're going to get beat up. How is that development? How does that help those kids? It doesn't. And, you know, I don't wish any ill will, but wouldn't it be something, these two teams, and they lose the lottery and don't even get the pick first overall? How would that be? Maybe justice.
Might happen, Craig. It might happen. Well, enjoy that. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I don't believe in tanking. I think that we're in a professional hockey thing. Bobby Clark certainly demonstrated that to us when I was in Minnesota in 1991 with Eric Lindros. Listen, I understand rebuilding. I think those two organizations right now, when you talk about the goals, they should be embarrassed by what they're doing.
Yeah, hard to argue. Craig, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. Take care.